Scaling a service business is like a lot of hand-to-hand combat. Like, you just need to be good at sales and you need to be like willing to roll with the punches. That's the business, right? And it grinds some people down. I think for us, like, you know, we had a lot of different, like, really solid early stage businesses that we worked with. And, you know, we ended up getting equity in a bunch of these companies.
I'm so excited to have Lucas here today with us because he's going to share some insights into his growth. Lucas, let's get right into it. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, Todd, thank you so much for having me. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Darkroom. We're a growth agency based in New York City.
Right on.
And we focus on growing and scaling consumer brands.
Okay. Like what kind of brands? Talk to us.
I mean, we work with, mainly it's like high growth startups. That's kind of really where we cut our teeth. Venture backed, digitally native businesses. Food and bev, traditional CPG, apparel and fashion, home goods. You know, the traditional verticals. In more recent years, in the way that the market has moved and the way that we've grown, we've started working with more enterprise, larger businesses on digital transformations and, you know, on helping them navigate the, you know, the marketing landscape and their growth.
So now you and I both know marketing agencies are not the hardest thing to start, but they are hard to scale sometimes. What was like the trigger for you to go from smaller companies who were only venture backed, didn't really have a good product going at the point, and then scaling into more of that bigger size customer? Like, what was that transition like for you personally? And what do you recommend people do for that?
Yeah, I think when you're not building, it's really interesting because like I've been building this business for 6 years now.
Yeah.
Where I'm at now, I treat the business like a product. And like we try and be methodical and establish systems so we operate like a product, meaning it's predictable.
Right.
That's like the main thing going from like a consultancy small agency to, you know, a place where you're managing dozens and hundreds of people.
Right.
So that's kind of how I think you need to be thinking about scaling if you're working in a professional service company trying to kind of get to that next level. But I think for me personally, it was just like, there's more business. We could be owning more of the pie of our customers' like marketing programs.
Right.
We could be having more impact. That's what excites me is like, you know, having these integrated marketing teams.
Love it.
So that's what we built and, you know, it just commands more resources, larger contracts.
Totally.
And a bigger perspective.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that goes into growing a large agency and there's so much that goes into having the right kind of clients for that agency. And to your point, I think it does translate a lot into a lot of professional services categories. But let's dive into your avatar. Like, tell us a little bit about, like, you know, 6 years ago, who were you chasing? And now, who are you chasing? And we talked a little bit about the economic dynamic of that. But could you have shortcutted the route to bigger clients? What do you think?
I mean, maybe, but like, I'm happy the way that things shook down.
Cool.
The reason we started the agency, though, was like, we loved launching cool products. Like, we just wanted to be a part of brand launches. And like me and my co-founder weren't really, we weren't set on one thing. We didn't want to launch one product. We wanted to have our hands in a variety of different things. So like the agency started, it was a growth engine for startups, like pre-launch businesses. We had an entire venture track where we would take someone to market.
Interesting.
And we launched some really exciting brands.
That's pretty cool.
And, you know, we're actually still have brands launching, you know, within the past 12 months that have been really high growth that we've had a hand in.
That's awesome.
So
that's risky, though.
Like, we launched super risky. And I think that's where, you know, as we started to scale the business, we were like, all right, we're getting out of the pre-launch, pre-seed, venture-backed company. Also, you know, consumer VC market and consumer has started to dry up. It's not as profitable of an investment thesis as it once was.
Sure.
So, I mean, naturally, we were like, hey, we want more predictable revenue. Right. We want larger contracts. We need to, you know, move to, you know, businesses that have pre-established marketing programs that are trying to get to a next level of growth. And that's really where we started to build out our competencies.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I think just in the nature of where our focus shifted was, it was a forcing, our growth was a forcing function for making that happen.
No doubt about it. No, but I mean, truthfully, a lot of service companies start by working with, you know, pre-launch or launching brands, and not just in marketing, but in a lot of other places, they start with these really small animals, hoping, dude, this one's going to be the one, this is going to be awesome. But there's a lot of risk because a lot of them are cash tight. Their VC backers are like skeptical of what you can actually do for them. Like, how do you get over those hurdles for that? Because I think a lot of smaller agencies and service companies out there really struggle to get out of that hump.
I mean, it's tough. Like scaling a service business is like a lot of hand-to-hand combat. Like, you just need to be good at sales, and you need to be like willing to roll with the punches. That's the business, right? And it grinds some people down. I think for us, like, you know, we had a lot of different, like, really solid early stage businesses that we worked with. And, you know, we ended up getting equity in a bunch of these companies. Smart. That was like the original model. It was like services for equity and cash. Right. We have upside. We were heavily influenced by Gin Lane and now the Pattern guys, who are one of our clients, actually. And we were like, all right, we're going to launch products to market, and we'll have upside. I mean, good idea in theory, but like, I mean, you see public D2C companies now, like, valuations are plummeting. There's fire sales on them. So, I mean, we haven't really realized any of that upside from some of those equity deals. I think we're sitting on a really solid portfolio. But yeah, at a certain point, you're just like, wow, what's the point of even doing these deals? Like, we could just, you know, scale MRR and, cash, you know, please, grow a business. Exactly, exactly.
Right.
So I think as the agency gets bigger and bigger, you're just like, all right, we're growing a book of business. Like, that, I just want cash, and we're just going to grow this thing and cash flow it. Like, that's the beauty of the service business.
It totally is. No, there's no doubt. I just know the reason I'm diving so deep into this is because I know that, like, I ran into the same problem myself, and it got to the point where I was like, holy crap, like, I can't be promised equity so many times and then have them not produce because they just suck at doing their company. You know, like, you did a lot of things right to help them get awareness and even drive traffic. But sometimes the traffic you drive, they don't know how to close. They don't have the processes. They don't have the systems. And so I'm sure that what you're finding is similar to what I've found, which is companies with systems, companies that have grown, that are post-launch, there's a level of comfort there because you know that you're not helping them run the business. You're just driving the traffic. You're doing what you're good at, and you're bringing the leads, and they know what to do with it once they get it. Do you feel that way?
I mean, for sure. I mean, I feel this way on the angel investing side. Like, I've caught a number of angel checks, and like, when your brand is like so early on, there's just so many different factors that are going into their success. So like, you kind of, you as an angel, as a marketing provider, there's only so much you can do in terms of being a driver of their growth.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's obviously a lot more stable working with pre-established companies that have product market fit. They have good revenue programs, good revenue systems, and you're coming in and offering expertise and essentially optimizing and revitalizing what they're doing so they can grow. Yeah, I mean, where we have our sweet spot right now is like businesses that are sitting on a tremendous amount of customer data,
right?
And they've grown because they have good products and
right.
Their marketing programs have worked for them, but we can unlock just a totally different way of looking at the customer data and leveraging that for marketing campaigns.
100%.
To me, like, that's where brands can get a lot more efficient in most instances. Like, large businesses that, you know, are in theory should be really sophisticated, they can just do a better job. Yeah.
They're just not. Well, I am so glad you're here, and I just wanted to take a few seconds to tell you about a program that we have assembled with a lot of our podcast guests and a lot of people who are listening to the show who are feeling the same way that they do. There's a recurring theme. You'll hear a lot of these founders talk about, I couldn't have done it without my team. I couldn't have done it without a support group of peers. I couldn't have done it without having someone to talk to that understood my feeling of isolation as an operator of my business. You see, you're not alone. It is hard running a business, and it's even harder when you know you can't express all your deepest concerns and frustrations with your executive team. It makes them nervous. It gets them scared. You don't want scared people on your executive team. So where do you turn? The Captain's Council is where you turn. The Captain's Council, it is an organization that we are put together with podcast guests, as well as people who are listening who are in the same boat. You see, peers are the only ones that can give you the type of empathy, the type of advice that only a founder or operator know and understand. Go check it out at captainscouncil.com. I know you're going to love what you see there. We have put together an organizational structure that has small group settings, a global community of founders and operators, as well as monthly and quarterly in-person events. You're going to love what you see there. I can't wait for you to check it out and enjoy the rest of this episode. Well, nobody's been there to teach them. You know what I mean? It's like, so what you're saying is that a lot of companies that are beyond launch, that are in a true growth mode, a lot of these companies and brands, they've got really good customer data, but they're really not leveraging it, because to that point, all they've been doing is lead acquisition and not a lot of lead recycling or lead repurposing. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
I mean, every company is different, but anecdotally speaking, like from my own experience, when you know, I dive into 80, $100 million companies, I see what their revenue programs. You know, usually they have a certain degree of brand awareness, and they have a loyal customer base that provides an adequate amount of revenue, where the business isn't fighting for new acquisition, right? They have existing programs that are working, but they're not harvesting behavioral data to actually make their marketing more effective, either from a new acquisition perspective or just like from a segmentation, like I'm going to communicate better, offer highly customized products and mererchandise to these people that, that, you know, at this point we know what their customer preferences are. So I think that's one part of it. It's just like having the knowledge. And then there's a whole other subset of consumer of businesses and brands that are more sophisticated. They have CDPs, they're, you know, really detailed and dialed into the data. And, you know, I still think there's a bit of a disconnect with those companies in terms of like how they're activating data. A lot of SaaS solutions try and like make this easy, but usually the extent of it is like manual. Super simple. It's like, I'm going to activate your data by, you know, deploying a lookalike audience from your top performing, you know, your high CLV customers. It's like, it's kind of simple stuff. Whereas like the way I like to think about it is like marketing is the tip of the spear in terms of communicating with your customer. And we should be leveraging that channel to make decisions about the direction of the business, the product, and how we're going to, you know, better communicate to customers and then ultimately improve CLV, which should be the guiding metric for determining the value of your company.
Totally. Now, as you engage with new clients and you start looking at kind of their model, their revenue model, what their client acquisition model looks like right now, you know, at what stage in a business do you encourage people to really focus on either building a bigger internal team or, hey, you're one or two people that were helping you get to this point. You really need to replace that with a team that knows how to really kind of nurture and work with the data a lot better. Like, obviously you're a third party vendor, but like most companies don't know when that go time is to turn off what they've been doing internally and kind of hand it over to someone and say, please help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it really depends on the size of the business, because like, for instance, in an enterprise relationship, like if you're going through an RFP, like that's usually not the way to win the business. And they're, you know, innovative solutions like sometimes scare buyers in that way. True. our philosophy as an agency, though, is like we are super transparent. We're stewards of your shareholder value. We're a growth agency. We're responsible for your growth. If there are any roadblocks to that growth, we're going to bring those to your attention, and you're going to, you know, hopefully action on that, or at least have the knowledge that we're being transparent and providing you with the information that you need.
Right.
That usually works really, really well when we're interacting with a board, a CEO or a CFO, someone who like we can see eye to eye with. If there are any sort of political obstructions, that mission gets a little bit muddied. But you know, the other part of our philosophy that I think is unique is we want to be accretive as an agency. Like we want to build around your internal team structures.
Right.
In certain instances, if like there's a cash crunch and, you know, EBITDA is not where it needs to be and like we're cash flow tight, we will make recommendations on how to be more efficient with your team structures, both internally and externally. We do this for clients all the time. Because we do P&L exercises, a lot of what our strategy, consulting services are diving into the finances, especially on the marketing side. So it's looking at their tech stack. People overspend on their tech stack tremendously. They can be a lot more efficient there. And then it's looking at human resourcing and how they're, you know, spending on certain marketing activities. So we do that assessment. That's an ongoing conversation. And we try and make recommendations about how they can be more efficient, whether those are darkroom resources, some functions should live internally, but you know, we give them an idea of what market rates look like, what they should be paying for certain things, because certain founders, certain companies, they don't have that information symmetry. They don't know how market rates work. So we help give them that guidance.
Market rates and really understanding their true costs and their true cost of acquisition. Like I'm shocked, you know, I'm literally shocked sometimes when I walk into a new business and I've discovered that they really don't know what it costs to get these clients. They're getting clients, they're working deals, but they just don't understand truly what it's costing them for client acquisition, for the sales, what should they be paying their sales? Like it blows my mind. So when you engage on that level, how does that conversation start? I mean, are people feeling stupid when you ask questions that they don't have answers, or are they saying, yeah, I know. You know what I mean? Like, what does it look like for you?
Well, everyone wants the answers to these questions. Like what you're referring to is like, what's my CAC?
Right.
What's my, you know, CAC payback window or CAC to LTV? Like, and we do that as just a part of our process.
Sure,
it's like, if we're going to be running media and acquisition, we need to understand what our cost of acquiring new customers are. It's going to give us a lot more confidence, scaling, spend.
100%.
Just growing a business, especially in a world where tracking is super, super obscure and it's only going to get more obscure.
Totally.
So, especially if you're trying to scale and increase budgets, you know, that's a tough thing in the current environment when return on investment isn't as clear as it once was.
So if I'm a company, let's talk to our audience here, because this is a really fun conversation for me, because we both engage with people in a similar way. But I want to take a step back and let's talk to people who are in that. I just launched, I'm making money. I want to grow and scale, but I'm feeling stuck and I don't really know what to do next. When you meet people in that mode, let's say you're 5 million, let's say you're 10 million in revenue and you don't know where to go next with, you don't even know how to answer questions like what is my CAC and how am I grasping. Like my buddy that started this with me knew how to run some ads and that's how we got going. I don't know what to do next. Do I keep him? Do I hire a third party? Do I bring in someone who's a in-house guy to run my marketing? Like how do you respond to those types of concerns with companies that are in that right on the cusp of I want to grow?
First of all, if you're a $5 to $10 million brand, like you need to know what your cost of acquisition is, like without a doubt. And I'm surprised by a lot of founders who don't understand it. And it's, you know, a very important guiding metric to understand like how you're going to grow the business.
Yeah.
You know, it's different for every founder. If I founded a consumer brand, like I obviously wouldn't outsource marketing. I would build it internally because that's what I do for companies. I know how to do it. So I think it just depends on the skill set. I work with clients who are, you know, they're medical doctors, you know, and they've built innovative solutions and they're offering it and they have great business, great product efficacy. And, you know, we work with them to scale and we're providing the marketing function. So I think it really just depends. But at that inflection point, $5 to $10 million, you know, You want to get, you want to grow, you want to get profitable, and you want to decrease your cost of acquisition. You can't do all three of those things. You know what I mean? Like, you need to focus on the most mission critical activities, because you can't do everything until you get to a point where you're at scale. That's the challenge. It's like figuring out, and you know, there's different priorities that business owners have. Some people are fine with a $5 million business, and they're going to, you know, they're going to gut, you know, sales and marketing overhead. So they just are floating more profit, and they're just going to harvest the business. Like, I can understand that. And then there are people who want to, they want to get to 10 million, they want to get to 20 million. And therefore that requires investment. That means you're going to delay your profitability, your time to, your time to money or time to profit is going to be extended. And, you know, you have to make those decisions, and it's entirely up to you as a founder. For me, that's the fun part of being an entrepreneur. It's like understanding how you can engineer your business to meet your end goal, whether that's an acquisition, it's lifestyle, whatever it might be. My biggest piece of advice for founders who are like stuck, it's like, you always have options. It's just like, how creative are you willing to get?
I love it. Love it. So Lucas, as you're talking to these clients, and let's go into your business for just a minute. As you've kind of seen yourself cross these thresholds and cross these points that you wanted to inflect and decide how you were growing and operating, what are the things that you did right in trying to get over those humps of growth that you're helping other people get through?
Yeah, I think one of the things, like, if you're thinking of starting a business or you're in a current situation, like, market dynamics are everything. They can make things very, very easy for you.
Right.
When you're thinking about growth, they can make things really, really difficult. So I would recommend reading the book Competitive Strategy. It's a necessity just in terms of understanding the different forces that go into evaluating a market. And like, that's number one. Just make sure you're in a good market that hopefully is growing and has, like, you know, some positive momentum. And then once you're in that market, like, figure out how to simplify and just offer something that's scalable, like a solution, whether it's professional services or a product. Figure out something that, like, everyone can like, that's really good. That's going to enable you to offer something and then expand into other services. So we found out what some of those tripwires were for us early on, and then we just expanded, like, very rapidly. And now we're at a place where we have clients that are spending a lot of money with us because we go so broad on certain things. There's some pros and cons to that.
You can't replicate as easily when you're broad, right?
Yeah, I know. And there's, but, like, our model requires us to be, like, super customized, super broad. The businesses that scale the fastest have a hyper specialized service, and that's where we started. So, I think that's probably a piece of advice I'd give.
Well, dude, I talked to a lot of people that rarely people do this alone, to have the kind of success that you've done and to build and grow the way you have. Is there someone that you've leaned on? Is there someone you want to give a shout out to who's kind of been there to guide, mentor, or help you get where you've gotten?
Yeah, I think I've had a consistent mentor for the past 6 years. I would say Alec Gettle, co-founder of Axiom and Knowable and Sungevity, really talented entrepreneur, just, like, great mentor. He's got a lot of experience, and, you know, he helped me just, like, think through interpersonal things with my co-founder, like, figure out market dynamics, like, what I want out of the business. So he's always been, like, a sounding board for me.
I love it. Love it. For those of you listening, if you don't have someone like that, you need to. I promise you, you can figure a lot out on your own, but you get so much further when you've got someone, a sounding board, a mentor, someone who's been there maybe 10 steps ahead of you. Got to find that person or that group or that whatever and make that thing happen. So, Lucas, I really appreciate your time today, man. I know you've got a lot of, you're out there all over the place in the content space. But I appreciate you taking the time to talk to our audience. And for those listening, if you need help shaping your business, getting your marketing to that next level, I highly recommend reaching out, get to know Lucas and his brand, and take a look, man. It's good looking stuff. So, Lucas, thank you.
Yeah, Todd, Thanks so much. Really appreciate you having me on. Yeah, if anyone wants to reach me, I'm Lucas at darkroomagency.com, and then Lucas DiPietrantonio on LinkedIn, Darkroom Lucas on Twitter. So reach out.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this all the way to the end. I thought that was a fun conversation, and I hope you did too. There's so much we can learn, and as he mentioned, really having a mentor, having someone who's a few steps ahead of you, who's where you want to be, is so critically important. If you don't have that person, you need to find one. Whether it's someone who's investing in you, someone who could potentially invest in you, go ahead and reach out. Find that person who can mentor and be that person for you. Another great solution is to be part of a peer group, a peer community of other founders and operators who are down the path you're on, maybe further, maybe shallower, but I can promise you they're not experiencing all the same crap you're dealing with at the same time. Chances are they've got answers you need, and you might have answers that they need. Check out CaptainsCouncil.com. CaptainsCouncil.com is where you can go to create a peer advisory board made up entirely of other active CEOs and founders. This is a great place to connect. It's a great place to be accountable to people who are in the throes of growing and scaling their business just like you. Captain's Council is a safe place where groups of 10 to 12 members get together every month and share what's working, what's not working. They set benchmarks and thresholds they want to hit together, and it really, really provides that community that you need as an operator to get to that next stage of growth, to scale that business where you want to get to, and hopefully find that exit you were looking for. So if that's for you, check out CaptainsCouncil.com. Can't wait to catch up. We'll see you on the next episode or in the council. We'll see you then.